as this world brings trouble, I find so hard to bear. I know I could not make it without Jesus being there. It's so encouraging to know, however deep we're in despair, Jesus never fails. So what can I do to prove to you? Tell me, how can you deny? No one told mysteries, it's all so cut and dry.
And on the witness stand of your life, I'll be the first to testify
that Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Jesus never
fitting message of a song. I'll be honest with you. I said it before. I think Sister Davis is some computer genius, and she knows how to hack into my computer, because that song is very fitting for the message for today's lesson. And even before that, that first song about the majesty of God, and I got thinking about if God could open our eyes for a second and see how angels reverence God. I think we would be so at a loss for words and so awestruck, we would never be the same again. I want to reverence him. I want to honor him. I don't care if nobody else honors him. I want to honor him in my workplace. I want to honor him in the house of the Lord with brothers and sisters, and let that kind of residue come off and say, you know what? This is how God needs to be honored in his house. This is how God needs to be honored in my personal life. I want to share that and be a living testimony for others. Because he deserves that in Jesus' name. If we can stand at this time, we're going to talk this morning. Tonight could be, how long have you been up? Last night, if you feel still like it's last night, or if you got sleep. We're going to talk for a few minutes about God's divine provision and protection.
All right. Praise the Lord.
You know, divine is, you know what? There's no explanation for it, but it was a God thing. God did it. There was no accident. He purposed it. He planned it. Nothing I did on my own, nothing anybody else did for me, but God just made something happen that would not normally happen. So in our text, we're going to go to Deuteronomy 33. We do not have the overhead this morning. And 26 through 29, it reads, "There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them." It is a powerful thing when God speaks on our behalf. When he says to the enemy, when he says to the angels, and you know, we are not alone. We are so, God, there is so much for us. God, there is so much on our side that sometimes the enemy is outnumbered. I need to say this. The enemy is outnumbered. We are not outnumbered. The enemy is outnumbered. The enemy just has a bigger mouth sometimes. The enemy likes to spew off some things, to say some things, to try to taunt us, to intimidate us. And we're going to talk about that for a few minutes. But we are not outnumbered. God is a God. He fights our battles. You know what? We need to have confidence. Whose report are we going to believe? You know what? My confidence is in him. Everyone in here is a living testimony. You've built confidence over your life through tests and trials, through situations. You can't explain it. It was a God thing. He did something for you in your life that is unimaginable, unexplainable. And that's my confidence that I have in him. In Jesus' name. Israel shall then dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon the land of corn and wine. Also, his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thy enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. In Philippians 4:18 and 19 reads this, but I have all in abound, and in full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You can be seated at this time. We can count on the support and strength of our Lord as we face everyday battles in our Christian life, in our Christian walk, in Jesus' name. Over 2 million homes are reported broken into every year. It is reported that about every 13 seconds there's a home break-in. They're about 4 a minute. That may cause you to want to get a home detection system that may, you know what, maybe you're okay and say, you know what, I live in Sandwich. There's times that I go to bed at night, I wake up in the morning, my front door's been unlocked. It's okay. Or I leave the car unlocked with the garage door opener, and I'm like, thank the Lord for protecting me and keeping me safe. I couldn't afford that nice alarm detection system, but you know what? I'm thankful for the Lord's provision in my life. Simply Safe and alarm detection systems can help protect our physical belongings. But for those things that are eternal, we need the Lord to be our protector. The FBI burglary rates of homes that states that 1 in 3 homes without a security system will fall victim to a burglary, compared to 1 in 250 homes that do have a security system. But without the Lord's protecting our families and our homes and our lives, we are living in a dangerous place without hope. I'll never forget, this was many years ago, I saw a poster. It was a dad on his knees praying along the bedside of his son. And as he was praying along the bedside of his son, in the window was a picture of a large angel protecting his son in his room. It's something that I do every night before I go to bed. I pray for God's protection of my home. And as a church body, I'm sure that you just don't pray just for your family, but you begin to pray for your brothers and sisters. You begin to pray for their children and for their safety. And God will bring things to your mind. You know, I pray for my pastor and his children. I pray for your children. And even if they don't come to church here, we're continually pray for them. We're encouraging each other. These prayers are not wasted. This is because we haven't seen the evidence. And the evidence of those prayers are answered because God has kept them safe and has kept my children safe and your children safe. But God has kept them. They still have a heartbeat. They are still alive, and God has a purpose and a plan for them. That's why we continue to pray for each other's children and pray for family and loved ones that aren't here today, in Jesus' name. We need to encourage each other, and those prayers are not wasted. Those are multiple prayers. That isn't just a single prayer, and God hears a single prayer, like Hannah, her single prayer, but God hears the prayers of multiple of brothers and sisters who pray. We're praying the same thing. You may not know it, but I'm praying for the things that you pray for. God will cause me to pray for an individual. I'm going to say this. The widows in the church, I'm praying for but God puts those words in our mouth for a reason. Just because they're not here doesn't mean we should stop praying for somebody. I can't tell you how many times I'll begin to pray for something or just begin to pray and be like, God, just you put that word in my mouth. I didn't purpose. I didn't have that written down. It wasn't in my prayer notes. I don't know why I prayed that. But he keeps bringing individuals like that to my mind to pray for them because there's a reason for it. Because God has a purpose for their life. God has a purpose for a lot of people. I believe God's going to bring people back. We're going to be wow. But really, if we sincerely prayed for them and we're expecting God to answer our prayers, our expectation should come before the miraculous, right? I remember Helen Kittner on a Friday afternoon saying, I'm expecting to receive a phone call that you received the Holy Ghost. 48 hours later, she got a phone call that I received the Holy Ghost. We should expect that God is going to return people back into his house. I'll be honest with you, I'll never forget this. Praying before the service, the praise singers don't just go back in there to do their hair, but they're praying. You could hear them praying. And I remember God, he gave a name, a couple that had been here for years, and we haven't seen them in years. And as soon as I walked out that door, my eyes went boom. It went right towards where they normally sit. Expect to see them here. Expectation comes before the miraculous. We need to be encouraged. I don't know who's going to walk through the door in the next 5 minutes. I don't know who's going to walk through the door in the next hour or the next week. But you know what? There's something inside of us that should say, you know what? I need a high five or brother. Because God answered a prayer. God has been answering my prayer. Maybe you've been praying for the individual and you haven't told anybody. But God is a God who answers prayer. And I'm excited about that. And I'm encouraged about that. And I get my confidence because of that in Jesus' name. David says, bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I remember the feeling I felt after being baptized in Jesus' name. I remember how clean I felt. I remember being filled with the Holy Spirit. And there is nothing that can compare to that in Jesus' name. I remember being sick in my bed at one time, and my temperature was 103.5. I could not move. Every part of my body ached. It hurt if somebody touched my skin. At the time, I had a moment where I didn't have insurance. I didn't even want to go to the doctor. I didn't want to go to the ER because I would get stuck with a large bill. But somebody came to my bedside, put their hand on my head, and began to pray in Jesus' name. Within 5 minutes, my fever broke. I was able to sit up. God healed me that quickly in Jesus' name. Forget not his benefits. I need to remember those times. I need to look back at those times and be encouraged that God did a miraculous thing in my life. I need to be encouraged when God did a miraculous thing in my brother's and sister's life. That, you know what, I can't explain it, but he did it. He made a way when it didn't seem like there was no way at all. The fact that you are still standing here is a testimony in your life, is a testimony for other people that what you've been through did not burn you. When people may ask, how are you doing when you're going through a test or a trial, or you're going through a furnace of affliction? Some are sincere when they ask those questions, but some are checking to see if you have any residue of smoke on you, to see if you got burned when you're going through that test or trial. You know the difference between when somebody asks you that. I thank God that when I went through the furnace of affliction, that I did not get burned. That when people come and ask me, how are you doing, brother? I'm doing okay. The Lord sustained me. The Lord kept me. My brothers and my sisters held me up. When I could not stand on my own, he carried me. I'm thankful for his provision, his protection in those times of my life. And I will never forget that. How can anybody walk away? I don't understand that. But you know what? I'm going to love them when they do come back. For those times when they walked away and they forgot, may I pray continually that things will come to the remembrance how God provided, how God protected, how God made a way, how God healed. It was no. The doctor says there is a known cancer in your body, and it is removed. May they remember that. God protected, God provided, God healed. It's those things that are under the radar, those things that are covert. May I remember those things. There's some things God is protecting you in ways that you can't even imagine. If you knew, maybe you were late for a job interview. Maybe you were late going somewhere, but you had a delay because there was an accident 5 minutes ahead. Maybe the roads weren't salted before you left, but God allowed you to be late to protect you from being hurt. I'll never forget this. This is back during 9/11, 2 weeks before 9/11. Seth Atkins, I don't know if many of you remember this, but he had a job interview down by the World Trade Center 2 weeks before when the Twin Towers were hit. He had a job, and he turned down that job. He didn't feel like that was the right job for him. But if he took that job, he would have been right there on the clock when those planes hit the Twin Towers. God's provision and protection in ways that we cannot understand. We can look back, and a lot of times we need to communicate. You know what? There's a lack of communication when we get on social media, and we're not really communicating. Not the way we should. We need to pick up a phone and talk to somebody. We need to get together after church and fellowship and share things with each other. And it may be in those times when we do that, that God will reveal to us that I protected you in that situation. I provided you in that situation. When we talk about it, after we talk about it, like, I didn't realize that. Now you have a testimony to share. You were sharing your testimony when you were just communicating with your brother or sister. They may point out and say, did you realize God performed a miracle in your life? You didn't even know it. We need to share those things with each other. Just some ways to encourage each other. We remember these experiences and are able to share personal testimonies with others and remind ourselves of things when we face adversity again in our life. We may think, if God did this for me before, he will do it again. But David says, forget not all his benefits. The truth is, we are going to be faced with tests and trials. God will bring victory in our life. He will do something miraculous in our life. But you know what? He did that to Israel. I delivered you from the hand of the enemy. You have victory in that. But your back's against the wall again. That's not your destination for your back to be against the wall. I'm going to set you up for victory again. May we not forget the victory that God gave us last week. I'm going to deliver you, but I want to fulfill a promise in your life. You know, every one of us is going to go through times of wilderness in our life. We're going to go, Jesus was, he had to go through the wilderness. God's people went through the wilderness. We're going to deal with temptations and tests and trials, but it's not our destination. He wants to deliver us. He wants to fulfill promises in our life. I don't want to be stuck in the wilderness. The wilderness is not my destination, but it's a place that we all have to go at times. And I need to learn to have a humble spirit and a right attitude and communicate and have a relationship with God during those times in the wilderness. But he is with us the whole time in the wilderness. And we don't need to ever forget that. He is with us in the valleys. He is with us on the mountaintops. And some of us are in different seasons in our life. There are many generations here. There are things going very well for you in your personal life. And there are things going tragically wrong for others in their personal life. But may I not forget God's benefits, that he says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. And may I look back in that and thank God for those benefits. You know what? I got benefits, Blue Cross, Blue Shield. We all seen that commercial where everybody's pulling out their Blue Cross, Blue Shield card and they're on a mountaintop, they're bike riding, they're doing all this or that. But that doesn't compare to the benefits that we have in God. Those covert, those under-the-radar things, those things that we look back and we need to remember where he brought me from. Deliver me out of the hand of the enemy. My back was against the wall. He delivered me through an impossible situation. Who walks through water? Who walks through on dry ground? Nobody but God's people can do that and survive. You have to remember that. The enemy of God's people do not have the ability to walk through and survive, but God's people have the ability to walk through and survive. That means when I get on the other side, I have a deliverance and I have victory from being on the other side of an impossible situation in Jesus' name. I am so thankful for every impossible situation that he has put me in, that he brings me through. There are times when God will crank up the heat and the volume of things in our life to cause us to cry out to him. Let me get into this real quick. It's in 2 Chronicles 32, 7 to 8. It says, this is when Judah was faced, and they would look like they were in a hopeless situation. The enemy camped around about them. They're ready to take the city, to take Judah. And King Hezekiah called the people together in Jerusalem and told them, in 2 Chronicles 32, 7 and 8, it says, "Be strong and courageous, be not afraid or dismayed, for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. With him is an army of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. The enemy will use words and intimidate and physical appearances as well." And I believe some of you have encountered those things, those verbal intimidations, those physical intimidations. But the report of the Lord says, there is more with me. And that arm of the flesh and that arm of intimidation is no match for the arm and the strength God has for me in my life. When you encounter those times of intimidation, we need to remember to just be quiet. That is a time when God says, you know what? I got this. I'm going to fight your battle. They look bigger by you in appearance, but their arrogance, their mockery, because you are my child and I'm your God, I'm going to take care of this. All you got to do is be quiet and stand still. In our own power, we want to fight flesh with flesh, and it is not a flesh battle we are fighting. It is a spiritual battle. If I hold my peace, God will fight my battles, and victory will be mine. I'm confident in that because I've seen it happen. I don't just have to go in scripture, but I could see it in the lives of my brothers and sisters in this church here today. The enemy couldn't help himself by being arrogant. He began to mock and compare other gods with Hezekiah's God, with our God. In verse 15, it says, "Now therefore, let not Hezekiah deceive you, nor persuade you on this matter, neither yet believe him. For no god of any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people out of mine hand and out of the hand of my fathers. How much less shall your God deliver you out of my hand?" And his servant spake yet more against the Lord and against his servant Hezekiah. And he wrote also letters to rail on the Lord God of Israel and to speak against him, saying, "As the gods of the nations of other lands have not delivered their enemy, their people, out of mine hand, so shall not the God of Hezekiah deliver his people out of my hand." The enemy tried to persuade, intimidate, and threaten with words and taunts. But in verse 20, it says, "And for this cause Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amoz prayed and cried to heaven. When two or three are gathered in his name," and we begin to cry out to God. You know what's a good thing to cry out to God? I mean, God may allow some pressure in your life to be so unbearable that it causes you to cry out to him. That pressure of, you know what, this is too much for me, causes me to cry out to God. That's a good thing, because God responds to our cries. "I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me out of all my trouble." He didn't just dissect my trouble and says, "I'll take care of this for you, brother or sister. You know what? You could handle this." No, the Lord delivered me out of everything, out of every trial, out of everything that I was going through in my life. In one moment, he took care of it. The Lord spoke and said, "Destroy them." He is poised to speak to your enemy and say, "Destroy them." He has given angels charge over you to tell them, "Destroy them. Destroy your enemy." My confidence is in the Lord.
I am not persuaded of what the enemy says. I don't care how loud he speaks. I don't care what he looks like and how big he is. My God is bigger. He is greater. He is stronger. He is higher. I am not intimidated by the enemy. There's nothing that he could do that can harm me. If he takes my life, I want to go on to bigger and better things. But I am not going to be intimidated by his words. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Whenever we face what it seems like an impossible situation in our life, we need to take another look and remember the benefit as God is being our protector. God wants to take us from victory to victory. He did not intend for me to drop me on my head. He did not intend me to take me this far and drop me on the head. That's one thing that I have to say to myself. I have to tell my kids that. Well, you know, you have to encourage them. We have to encourage ourselves. We have to lift ourselves up. Lord, you brought me this far. But there's all these victories that you've brought me through. I need to look where I'm standing, and I need to look back. Victory, 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 victory. Obstacle, victory. I'm on the other side. Lord fights. I'm on the other side of it. Impossible situation with man, but not with God. All things are possible. I'm thankful. God wants to restore your confidence in him. He wants to restore your confidence in his name. When that person prayed for me, when my fever was 103.5, he prayed the name of Jesus. He didn't say, oh, Father, that thou art in heaven. He prayed in Jesus' name. When my daughter grabbed a frying pan, I'll never forget it, was 2 years old, and she was screaming because she burnt her fingers. Her grandpa walked over, sitting on grandma's lap. As soon as he put his gentle hand on her head, he just said, name of Jesus. She went from screaming to the most peaceful sleep I've ever seen a 2-year-old child have. Getting on his benefits. He heals. He protects. He watches over. He delivers. He's here to encourage you today. He is here to build your confidence, not in yourself, not in your flesh, but in him. He wants you to armor up. And one thing that he provides, he wants you to be strong. And I feel like I need to get to this part. The Lord provides protection, but we have a responsibility ourselves. He expects us to take responsibility for our own protection in this way. It's in Ephesians 6 and 10. Paul tells us to be strong in the Lord and put on and in the power of his might. And how do we do that? By putting on the armor of God, having your loins girt about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. It is my responsibility to be prayed up before I leave my house every day. I'll confess, it seems more convenient for me for years to pray before I go to bed at night, and I still do that. But I want to make it a priority. I started going to bed earlier past month, getting up earlier. I believe God deserves the first fruits of my day. I need that word of God in the morning. I need that prayer time. I don't need the prayer on the fly. And sometimes we have to do things on the fly. We have to pray always. And sometimes we have to do that. But you know what? I need to make God a priority in my life. I need to be prayed up. That if I'm not armored up, that's on me. Because that armor is all hanging up in my prayer closet. And for me to walk out without putting it on before I leave the house every day, it's not because it's not provided for. It's already provided for. I just have to go in my prayer closet and put it on before I leave my house. Aren't you thankful that God provides that for us? the gospel of peace, my shield of faith. I remember a family member saying one time, my husband, there's no cure for his, for what he has, for his disease. And I'm in that environment. And when you're around people that don't have faith, you know what, that Brother Kelvin, that bounced right off of me. I could care less what the doctor says. I could care less of her lack of faith. My faith says God can heal. God has healed. He's the same God. He did it before. He'll do it again. It is nothing to him for him to do such a thing. He is a creator. If you lost a body part, he's able to replace that. He is a creator. You were formed in your mother's womb. There wasn't much to you when you were before you were born. Got arms and legs, you came out. Well, you know what? Some people lost their legs in war. I don't only have to go back a few years to Zuzu Street Revival. There were men, women, amputees. The creator. A leg that was gone by disease or war. God just made a new one. I'll never forget reading that book of the children of Azusa Street, where this man had rotten teeth, and his teeth were, you could pretty much touch him. The lady, this woman of faith, the woman that one of the few that fasted and prayed for days before during the revival, and she put her finger on the man's gum, and as she put pressure down, a tooth would come up, a brand new tooth. Is it too hard for God? No. Does anybody just question God when I said that? If we're going to boast or brag on anyone or anything, we need to brag on him. The testimonies. He deserves bragging on. He's healed. He's delivered. He's protected. He's provided. Back during the recession, I saw men that I worked with. They took in jobs in totally different areas. They got out of the trade. I remember there was a time where I didn't work for 6 months. God provided. I'm still in the same house. I can't explain it. I got thinking about this, Brother Allen, Sister Christy. You were in your house for a long time. You lost yours, but God brought you through what it seemed like an impossible situation. It seemed hopeless, but you are examples here today, and you are an encouragement to every brother and sister in here that you did not give up on God, because God never gave up on you. He made a way. He held you up. He sustained you. He provided for you. He kept you. I'm thankful for that God. He is my strength. He is my source of strength. When my knees get weak and I feel like I can't stand up, he keeps me standing. Why don't we stand at this time? When his journey of life ends, God's provision continues to the next level. He has a store for us. He has already prepared a place for us, for our arrival. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." He's always preparing. He's always planning. He's always providing. He's always making a way. He's always taking care. When I think about the Lord and how he saved me and how he never gave up on me and how he filled me with his Spirit, I'm thankful for those times of refreshing when he healed me. He healed my daughter. He provided and he protected. Turns those things right side up that were upside down at the time. Made possible those impossible situations. I can truly look back and say it was God the whole time. Aren't you thankful? Stand here today. Reflect. Look back. I am only here today is because of the goodness of God.
Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus.
Do we love him? Let's worship the Lord together.
Will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Tell me whose report? Will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord.
Sing it again.
Whose report will you believe?
shall believe the report of the Lord. His report says I am healed. His report says I am filled. His report says I am free. His report says victory. Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Tell me, whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Tell me, whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Tell me, whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of
His report.
Says I am healed. His report says I am filled. His report says I am free. His report says victory.
Yay.
Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Tell me, whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. We shall believe the report of the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Craig. Aren't you glad for the protection and the provision of God? Hallelujah. Can we lift our hands? Can we lift our voice? We love you, Jesus. We honor you. We praise you. Classes will be returning in just a few moments. We'd ask that you would be respectful in the sanctuary. We'd find a place to pray either here at the front or there in the pew. Be some soft music playing in the background. We apologize. We do not have multimedia this morning. Our computer is not functioning, and so we won't be able to put announcements up on the screen, but we will try to make you aware of those things here in the next session. But let's take a few moments, and let's pray, ask the Lord to continue to work in this service this morning.
Faithful God. Yes, you are. You are faithful.